Even just looking at things like queues and wait times can really be a great indicator of customer happiness, and all these things, they lead to profitability and return customers.
Welcome to AI for Business Growth, the podcast from pioneering artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all business people, from startup entrepreneurs right through to Fortune 500 companies. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech to help you and your business to navigate through and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow businesses.
Today's show is about how artificial intelligence is being used from existing CCTV footage to improve customer experience. Actionable insight on product engagement, staff productivity, and even queue length can all be done simply using existing CCTV footage and AI. This means you can increase sales, reduce operational costs, and increase customer engagement. My guest today is Victoria Zorin, who is the founder and CEO of Nola AI, which is a company that uses existing CCTV footages from their clients and apply AI to it to get actionable insights. Welcome to the show, Victoria. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So let's start with a little bit about your background and how Nola came into being.
Thank you for that introduction. So as you mentioned, Nola is a computer vision powered in-store analytics solution for retail, hospitality and entertainment venues. So it's a monthly subscription solution that leverages existing CCTV cameras and provides real-time historical and predictive insights on visitor experience, visual merchandising effectiveness and staff rostering effectiveness. So I guess what you could say is we're a no installation and low running cost alternative to traditional people counters in market with more advanced intelligence capabilities. So a bit of background about Nola. The idea came to me 3 years ago in an interesting way. So I used to attend quite a lot of events and music festivals, and I personally felt quite frustrated by the long queues and wait times at these events, at the bars, but also, you know, at the toilets, showers and facilities. So sometimes I would find myself walking 2 kilometers to the toilets just to find myself waiting up to half an hour for the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a background working in B2B technology and strategy and marketing, and having this knowledge about pre-existing AI capabilities in market and computer vision, I thought this issue could definitely be addressed. So the first thing I did was explore what was available in the market to address the queue and wait time problem. And I found that those traditional people counters, which are your Bluetooth beacons or, say, infrared, were just not feasible for high-density environments or crowded environments or even outdoor environments. There was nothing to service outdoor venues at the time. And so that's when I realized there was a large and exciting market opportunity. So I ended up speaking with over 50 businesses, including music festivals, retailers and hospitality. And that's when I realized there was so much more data that we could obtain for these venues that was not currently being serviced. And the requests that we had were things like tracking visual merchandising engagement, which is, I guess, the equivalent to category engagement in Google Analytics. So for e-commerce stores, they can really easily track, you know, how many people visit their different category pages or product pages, the dwell time, if they go to the checkout, but the same thing couldn't be said for a retail store, and same with demographics. And that's when we decided that computer vision and AI would be the methodology that we would use to obtain that data, because there was no other way. And then also having worked in marketing myself, I knew that if there was installation involved in a product like this, it would really be a difficult sell, given that people already had technology installed within their stores. We didn't want to say, you know, you have to go install something new. So from the outset, we made a decision that there would be no installation involved. It would be a plug and play solution to ensure that product adoption would be easy and seamless and also not expensive.
That's so amazing. So you're really taking what was the advantage of digital and putting it into the bricks and mortar?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I guess the initial idea was that we would try and replicate Google Analytics for the physical retailer, but then we realized there was so much other data that we could obtain using machine learning and CCTV beyond the retail landscape. For instance, something that we recently have implemented for hospitality is tracking things like table occupancy usage. So how many people in the venue are using the tables? How many are seated in real time? And historically, what does that look like? Now, if there's, say, 60% of tables are occupied for the full length of Saturday, you know, for an executive, they would be thinking about, well, if we had filled those additional 40%, how much more money could we have made? So it's about bringing those insights to those retailers so they can make better decisions on, you know, a strategic level in their investment, staff rostering, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So what kinds of things? So it would be looking at if you're in a shop, if they picked up an item, so engaging with products, queue length, as you mentioned.
Visitor count and occupancy. Okay. Yeah. Real-time demographics, table occupancy, staff count as well. So I think a better way to explain this is they're all using similar algorithms. So for us, at a high level, what we're tracking is line crossing. So that's things like entry, occupancy, engagement. So as you mentioned, if someone's looking at a product, we have a unique machine learning algorithm that we've developed where we're actually tracking when someone's facing an item or a shelf, for instance, and they're paying attention. And then also, so I think I said line crossing, occupancy, dwell time and engagement. So those are really the high level kind of things that we're tracking. Yeah. But depending on the context, it translates into different insights. So for instance, in hospitality and events, when we say we're using engagement, this could be someone standing, say, at the DJ booth or someone standing around the tables. We're using our engagement algorithm for that. And for dwell time, it's bars and wait times, whereas in retail, it could be something like product engagement or even passerby traffic and draw-in rate. So in a sense, it's all similar types of algorithms being used, but the data is being presented in different ways that is actually useful for the business.
Very interesting. So each type of sector that you're looking at, be it conferences or restaurants, et cetera, has different types of data that you collect and analyze, all from CCTV. So does the images that you train the algorithms on have to be different depending on where you're, you know, who the client is?
Yeah, so that's a really great question. So applying computer vision and AI on CCTV is quite a challenge. And the reason is all scientific models that are publicly available and that are trained on so-called public data sets, while they're a really good starting point for training, they don't work in all environments. And this includes things like different lighting, physical appearances, so they can differ in different geographical locations, angles, and so forth. So the way that NOLA has been designed is it tunes its accuracy to every feed, every environment and geographical region. So it trains itself on every feed provided by our clients, and therefore over time becomes more accurate as it operates in various scenarios. So what we do that's a bit of a differentiator to, say, kind of a traditional people counter is we're actually really transparent about the accuracy, and we provide regular reporting on how accurate, you know, is the count, is the occupancy, and we have systems in place to do so. Now, if we find that it dips below a certain benchmark, we'll actually go and collect and label new images depending on the estimation of accuracy for each feed, and we'll provide that report back to the customer.
Well, so how did you train the algorithms? I guess you must have had to collect a lot of image data in each sector that you're working in and train on that. Could you talk about how you did that?
Yeah. So we've built our system, which takes feeds from all CCTV cameras, and it only takes those that are useful and process them in real time using our own machine learning and other algorithms. So to answer your question, yes, we use some publicly available data sets, but over time, we did run a lot of pilots for R&D, mm-hmm. and we leveraged those CCTV feeds to build up the system. And now with every client that we do have, NOLA continues to train itself and become smarter every single time. So, yeah. You know, we can imagine, you know, in 5 years, it'll pretty much know every single scenario, right? So there won't be as much fine tuning.
Yeah, of course. Like AI always learns, the more data, the better it gets.
Absolutely.
So who are your clients now? What kinds of, obviously, as you mentioned, restaurants, bars, events, retail yeah. stores, what would you say is the main sort of client that you see the most of?
Yeah, so that would be correct. Those are the verticals we work with, but I would say it's mostly organizations that have several venues, as their challenge is really gaining insights across the entire venue or store network in one snapshot, and that's really helping them prioritize, de-risk, and improve profitability. As you can imagine, say you're a CEO, you have 100 retail stores, yeah. it's really hard to gain insights on a deeper level beyond the sales metrics on, you know, how effective is staff rostering? Are people actually engaging with new products that you've released within the store? What is the customer experience like? So even just looking at things like queues and wait times can really be a great indicator of customer happiness, and all these things, they lead to profitability and return customers.
Yeah. Could you maybe talk about a case study of a client that what was happening with them before they started using you, and then how that changed by using you, just to bring it to life?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a really great example recently is we're working with a major clothing chain in Australia, and we are leveraging around 10 of their video feeds in their store. It's quite a large store. They have a total of 30, but 10 is enough to gain full coverage of all their shelves, passerby traffic, entry staff as well. So for them, we are tracking staff count in real time, visitor count, occupancy, product engagement, queues and wait time as well on visit agenda. What was really interesting for them was they had recently added a new area to their store, which focuses on big ticket items, so expensive items such as jewelry. Mm-hmm. And this is a recent addition. So for them, you know, it's part of their growth strategy to build up the revenue in their business. So the only thing they really understood was the sales, which were pretty low. But what NOLA was able to uncover was that many people were actually walking past that area at the back that they added in their store. There was not many visitors. I think about 10% of the visitors that entered that store were actually walking into the area and looking at the bigger ticket items. But the second thing that we discovered was that because we can track staff count behind counters, mm-hmm. staff were actually not present for most of the day. And we believe that was a second factor to why things were not converting, because if staff aren't there to guide that customer through that big ticket item, there's going to be no one for them to, I guess, to speak to or to better understand that item. So, yeah, there's two things that we discovered: lack of engagement, but also staff weren't effectively looking after that area or, I guess, conversing with customers. So that's something they're starting to optimize, and they're going to see if this improves that revenue in that part of that business.
Really interesting. What about internally? If you had a big company operation and you had, for example, manufacturing or something like that, has anyone used it for that kind of use case to check on internal productivity?
Yeah, great question. So we haven't done manufacturing as of yet, but at the moment in retail and hospitality and those festivals, it's certainly the key metric that they're looking at. We call it service intensity. So what we're tracking and displaying on a graph is the number of staff in real time versus the number of people queuing. And they're able to see if the staff are exceeding the customer count, so potential revenue leakage, or the other way. So is it a poor customer experience? So for some of our retailers, what they're doing when they're noticing staff are just standing there for hours on end, nothing to do, they're reallocating staff to more high priority projects, such as restocking clothing or going into the warehouse. However, in the early days, before we even looked at retail, we did look at other industries such as warehousing, and we did find that that was a huge concern for them. Mm-hmm. Around staff productivity. So we haven't delved deeper into that, but we certainly know that is what businesses are looking at.
It's really, I was just thinking, what about, so event companies are one of your client base. How do you measure engagement in an event company?
Yeah. So for music festivals or let's say exhibitions, mm-hmm. one of the things that they tend to have is sponsorships. Mm-hmm. And those sponsorships can be in the form of marketing activations, such as, let's say, they have some kind of thing that you can interact with. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to sponsorships, on the sponsorship end, it's actually really hard to track your return on investments with sponsorships. Mm-hmm. People kind of just say it's brand awareness. Well, how do you measure the brand awareness or the, I guess, the return on investment on the event? At the moment, it's probably only the leads that you get from the event. Now, this enables the event organizers to actually provide metrics around how many people have engaged with that brand at the event, something they weren't able to do unless they were capturing the lead, for instance.
Yeah.
I think that would be the key thing. So it adds value to their sponsorship clients.
Yeah.
And enables them to sell those packages the next year. So that's just another use case. It's not really a key one, but it's something that we have found to be quite useful.
It would be really interesting with events in the like exhibition halls. So, you know, a lot of events, you've got the main conference and then you've got the exhibition hall where the sponsors have their stand. So yeah. I guess seeing where the positions in the stand are, you know, that would be the higher ticket sponsorships, for example, because they get the most traffic, they get, you know, that would be really interesting. Have you got any event companies? So you are working with those kind of companies now?
We're not working with event organizers so much, but more so music festivals at the moment that do have a sponsorship element.
Yeah.
For them, what has been really interesting is their queue design. So they will have, you know, over 50,000 people in 2 days visit the bars.
Yeah.
And what we have found is humans have a tendency to follow other people. So if everyone's queuing on the left side, everyone's just going to follow. And therefore the right queue actually has no one, even though it's free. So this was something really strange that we have found occur in events. People will just go where other people go when there's clearly a spot where they can line up. So that's something that we've realized, and now they're getting their security to shift people over in real time.
Yeah.
That's happening.
Wow, that's interesting. And what I find really cool is that there's no installation required. So how does that work? Do you get a feed from that? How is it analyzed in real time, or do you get a batch that you process and then give the insights? How does that work?
Yeah, exactly. So it is processed in real time.
Okay.
So it leverages connectivity standards from CCTV cameras. So there's no need to install a sensor. We leverage RTSP fees essentially. So all they have to do is really just ask their CCTV supplier to provide that to us. That's like in the form of a URL.
Okay.
Sometimes there is additional hardware supplied on premises, but it's not necessarily like installed or drilled in. It's just connected to their network. And this is depending on the client data protection and personal privacy policies, because not everyone wants to send their data over cloud, and we are finding that to be more common with the larger retailers. So we may provide them with a processing unit on premises.
Yeah. Wow. And do you have any smaller companies, or is it more these large ones that are trying to optimize across all of their different venues?
Yeah, definitely. We do have kind of one bar companies that aren't necessarily a chain. And from the outset, our key mission has been to democratize the benefits of computer vision for businesses of all sizes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have removed that installation layer, and we only charge per video feed per month to make this accessible for everyone. So it, as I mentioned, it's a lower cost alternative to those devices that are installed. But the other thing is we're perpetually innovating. And that's what I love about AI and computer vision is you can consistently deliver value. So if one day our customers say, hey, we want to track OH&S, for instance, in our retail store, there's nothing stopping us from deploying that feature to all customers. And that's what I love about it is that we can constantly evolve to the changing needs of our customers. We're not stuck. There's no end of life.
Yeah, you're constantly innovating and meeting the needs of the customers. So you can, one customer asks for something, you think, actually, all of our customers may like that. That's interesting. Totally. And so what is the time from when someone gives you that feed to actually getting actionable insights that they can act on?
Yeah, so it really depends on the number of video feeds. But let's say there's three video feeds. So that could be covering your entry, a smaller store maybe. Three video feeds is probably a smaller retail store. So that would only take us from the moment we get access about 8 hours to actually set up. But then we'll run it for a week and do our accuracy reporting and make any tweaks just to ensure that the client's happy. And then we'll continue to do the accuracy reporting after and making tweaks. So the longer it runs, the more accurate it is. But of course, if it's a more complex venue, which we had recently, we had a floating bar on a river, which was a massive boat with 50 video feeds. So that took probably around 3 weeks because it was more of a complex one where we had to map it all out to a heat map where we could see the traffic in real time. It did take a bit longer, but what we're seeing is that there's a lot of repeat scenarios in all our clients, and we imagine over time this process will be a lot more streamlined and even get to the point of where maybe our clients can do the self-setup themselves.
Yeah. So with the video feeds, so you've got, you charge per video feed. Is that like a monthly subscription?
Yeah, pay as you go, pay per video feed. Yeah. And so what this means is it enables the customer to select what is useful to them. So for the less mature retailers, they're probably just looking at visit account and post conversion. So for them, one video feed will help them figure out their visit account, sometimes pass-by traffic and draw-in rate, and visit agenda. So we'll just charge for the one feed. The more mature retailers are actually looking at product engagement across the store and even mapping this into Google Analytics so they can really have that omni-channel report and be able to compare, say, what's the engagement of socks in the physical store versus on the e-commerce store? How does that change? What's the visitor intent on the e-commerce site versus the brick and mortar store?
That's interesting. Have you ever looked at, has that been an issue with clients that have got e-commerce and bricks and mortar? Have you noticed on one of the mediums like digital or bricks and mortar that one product's doing really well, but it just doesn't work in the other medium?
Yeah, there's definitely been instances of that. But generally, I think for clothing specifically, we're noticing that it tends to be quite similar what the high performers are. But say more for like a hardware or furniture store, it does differ online versus in store.
Very interesting. And using your software, they can start to improve the disparity towards the more higher engagement.
Well, yeah, exactly, because the thing is they don't have any visibility at all in their store besides sales. And sales aren't the greatest indicator of what's happening because, as I mentioned before, there was that high ticket item area in that retail store and, you know, their sales were quite low. And it's not to say that there's no interest, but there was no staff at all to help the customer. So if there was someone actively selling, I mean, what could have that looked like from a sales perspective?
Yes. Wow. So I guess you have got really good statistics on the befores and afters, which would be very interesting to see at some point. So where are you taking NOLA next? What are your plans for world domination?
Love this question. So, look, we have quite a lot of existing insights already. We have a lot of data, and I think customers do get overwhelmed initially. So for us, it's really about enhancing the existing insights we have and allow our clients to implement operational and strategic changes and bring a level of automation within their business. So finding out how we can better deliver the data, whether that's visualization or sending push notifications. So for instance, if we see that there's a certain number of visitors to the toilets, sending a notification to say, clean your bathroom. So we're trying to find use cases like that and implement them for the different industries, but also adding additional predictive insight capabilities. So saying, okay, this is how many visitors are going to be visiting your store next week. This is what you should do. We're starting to look at that layer.
That's so very cool. Just
real-time historical, but, you know, providing that guidance and that advice and also integrating other data like weather. So trying to help them understand, well, why might this be happening? Why is there a spike? Public holiday information. So, yeah, just taking other information and integrating it into the business, into the dashboard.
That's very interesting. I think so how do you do it now? So that once the feed comes in, is it in a online dashboard that they get their results?
Yep, that's right. So we have a web app that they can access on their phone, well, on any device, and they're able to access a real-time dashboard and also a historical dashboard and a dashboard which integrates their POS data with their existing data. And from there, they're able to, and we also have custom dashboards as well, where it enables those executives to create reports that are relevant to them, such as a custom experience person, CEO, so forth. And yeah, they can access those dashboards from the web app. So they do have different use cases. So for real time, it would be more about making those decisions on the spot or taking courses of action to fix an issue or take advantage of an opportunity, such as someone waiting at reception. So looking at the data and then helping that person out, or as I mentioned, say cleaning the bathrooms, that's how the real time might be used, or there's crowding in a certain area of a larger venue and they can see that in the traffic map. Historical would be about performance and understanding where they may be losing revenue or where there's opportunities for sales as well. Mm-hmm. And then the POS data is just another layer of performance and setting KPIs for different stores or venues. So, you know, having conversion rate KPIs, average spend per visitor KPIs, product conversion rate KPIs. There's different use cases for different individuals.
And so for the that example you gave before of the queue, where there's one queue here and there's no queue beside them, could they get a real-time alert on, so I guess your data could tell you the kinds of things that you've seen for them before, and so then you know who to send the alert to. So if there was someone in that store at that particular point, you would say, okay, we've had queue issues before, so when the data picks up immediately that there's a queue issue, it could send an alert to someone in the store and say, could you move things across? Does it do?
Yeah, that's right. So the client can set alerts up for any of our metrics, whether that's occupancy,
that's
or queues and wait times or visitor counts. So you can say, you know, if the queue is bigger than 15 people, send a push notification. Or even a most recent example actually was a client wanted a notification around if there's been too many staff standing there and no customers for a certain amount of time for a notification being sent. And that's to increase productivity amongst the staff. So, yes, certainly we can set notifications for any of those metrics.
That's really cool. And I think that when you add in that predictive element as well, because I remember reading that McDonald's spent $900 million on AI in 2019, and what they were doing was looking at weather patterns, traffic patterns, and so apparently depending on the weather and the traffic and other factors, different things on the menu would become more popular. So they actually started to change their menu in real time depending on what was going on. So I can kind of imagine you could get to that, you know, eventually you could be starting to predict based on all these other factors that come through.
Well, yeah, definitely. There's so much data. I think for us, it's really about just understanding our customers more and what is important to them and finding those commonalities across the industry and bringing in those plug and play features that they, you know, receive value from rather than overwhelming them with information.
That's true. Yes. Yes. You've got to build it as needed. Thank you so much for your time. I haven't seen anything like this out there. I think this is really fascinating what you're doing. And congratulations on how far you've taken it so quickly. For any listeners that want to know more about this, that I know that we probably have quite a few pharmaceutical event organizers, but even if there's other people who are in retail or bars, restaurants, festivals, etc., if you want to see more about this, if you go to nolahq.com, you'll be able to find out a lot more and just reach out to Victoria and her team. Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it, and keep up the good work. Really interesting.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you having me on here.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Business Growth with Dr. Andre Bates. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your business, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating wherever you download your podcasts. For more information on the subjects covered in this episode, links mentioned during the conversation, or to connect with Dr. Andre, click the link in the show notes now. Plus, make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.